Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Maybe one of the things President Obama will talk about in this news conference is Sandy relief. Big vote on that tomorrow in Congress, New York and New Jersey area, obviously holding our breaths on that. And we may be debating Sandy relief as, oh, it's been so long in coming. Look, it's 2 months after the storm. But this weekend was the third anniversary of the earthquake in Haiti, which that country has still not recovered from in so many respects. So we will talk to two Haiti experts now about what turns out to be the mixed blessing of relief, of international aid. Laurent Dubois is professor of history at Duke University and co-director of the Haiti Lab at the Franklin Humanities Institute. His latest book is Haiti, The Aftershocks of History, just out. Professor Dubois, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
And journalist Amy Wilentz has written about Haiti for The New Yorker, The Nation, for many years. Her 1989 book about the fall of the Duvalier regime, The Rainy Season, was a National Book Critics Circle nominee. She's followed up that now with Farewell, Fred Voodoo, out from Simon & Schuster. Amy Wilentz, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Amy, you were in Haiti last month. Describe life on the ground, especially if the country feels like it's still in recovery mode from the earthquake 3 years ago.
Well, it is still in recovery mode. I don't think it's that abnormal to still be in recovery mode if you're a third world country hit by a giant catastrophe. So 3 years out, okay, we'll wait and see and not say we'll never recover. But on the ground, there's still rubble around, but it's been largely removed from the streets, and it was a huge amount of rubble. So it's been a gigantic task. But the worst thing for me is that there are still people living in these terrible, terrible displaced person camps around the city. There are about 490 of these little camps, smaller than the bigger ones, which have been depopulated largely. And many of the people who depopulated the refugee camps are now living in houses that have been condemned because of earthquake damage. So there are lots and lots of problems, and traveling through the camps, as I did last month, was very disturbing because of the level of poverty. It's really unimaginable to an American.
And if we have any listeners with ties to Haiti, I know we have a lot of Haitian American listeners. The phones are open, 212-433-WNYC, for your questions or comments on earthquake recovery 3 years hence, and specifically about the role of the international community, pro, con, mixed, 212-433-WNYC for anyone with ties to Haiti, 212-433-9692. And Professor Dubois, I think one thing that ties your books together is that you both question the way in which aid organizations flooded into the country, many in misguided ways. You both conclude after the disaster, Amy calls this the army of the innocent. Laurent, you describe how Haiti has become a place for professional training for NGOs, which is not a compliment. So where do you want to enter this conversation?
Well, I do think that's part of the critical issue. I mean, obviously, there was a moment right after the earthquake when I think a lot of people hoped that this would be also a turning point in the way that the international community dealt with Haiti and in the way that priorities were set. And I do think that 3 years later, we do really have a pretty glum picture of what aid has done and how the reconstruction process has been pursued. I mean, for me, the biggest symbol of this is that you still have, you know, only recently was the National Palace even demolished, and so it's kind of now an empty space. Meanwhile, we have an industrial park in the north of Haiti. We've got, you know, a shining new hotel. But in some ways, that symbolizes, I think, precisely one of the problems with the way that aid was pursued after the earthquake.
And Amy, you spent some time with Sean Penn, who's one of the more prominent celebrity Haiti-files, you might say. And I get the feeling you were pretty skeptical at first, but then you come around a bit on his efforts and see him as a force for good. Yes?
Well, he did, when he went down, he hadn't just had a giant scandal. His little scandal was fairly far in his past. He went down there because he was an empty nester and he had done some work on Katrina. And then he got to Haiti and he lived there. He lived in his refugee camp as much as he could. I mean, he did, of course, make trips back to Hollywood to shoot movies and keep himself solvent. But I think that what I saw of him, he's largely very smart about Haiti. He seems to understand a lot about how Haiti works. He doesn't have some reflexive racism that I see in other people. He doesn't live what I call in my book the compound life. He hasn't cut himself off from all Haitians. So he mixes it up with people. He finds out about the country. He's trying to learn Creole. All these things are positives. And people who live the compound life and are afraid of the Haitian population and never get to experience what it feels like to be Haitian tend not to know how to direct their projects properly.
Laurent Dubois, I heard you reacting to some of that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know the Sean Penn situation specifically, but I mean, I do think that in general, that's kind of the key, right, is that there is a kind of way in which people cycle through. There's a huge population of folks who've been, especially after the earthquake, but even before, and that kind of compound life, and in a broader sense, the sort of isolation of many decision makers from the real kind of cultural, historical, economic realities of Haiti, it really impairs a lot of the efforts, unfortunately.
Let's take a phone call. Claire, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling. Claire,
hello.
Can you hear me? Hi.
Hi. My name is Claire, and I'm listening to the radio now, and I've heard some news concerning the earthquake 3 years that hit Haiti in 3 years, and I was there. I survived the earthquake, but since then I haven't went back over there, and I heard that there were no change, and I can't testify also that there's no change concerning like everything, and I just wanted to know it's not the president, it's they're not using the money properly. It's not the president himself, but the money is stuck in the government, and all the organizations are keeping the money. They're not like it has to be a cycle, and it's not really working. So that's why I just wanted to testify that this is how Haiti is, basically.
Claire, I appreciate it.
So,
and who?
I don't know if this makes sense. I can't explain in English well because, like, I'm like a beginner, but I.
Right.
Well, I don't know.
Well, you're doing pretty darn good for a beginner, and thank you for your call. Amy Wilentz, does that ring true to you about misusing the billions of dollars that are coming in?
Well, there was a level of arrogance among the organizations giving out money and arranging projects, and they did not include Haitians. Frequently, there was lip service given to, of course, with development people now know that you have to include the local populations, but in fact, that was not the case. And the Haitian government received for programs for reconstruction about 1% of the monies that were spent in Haiti. And in addition, yes, it's very true, still in the coffers of the U.S. Treasury and in the hands of the Red Cross are monies that were supposed to be used for reconstruction in Haiti after the earthquake. So I think what Claire is seeing on the ground in Haiti is exactly misuse of funds, and that's why it seems as if so little has changed. And, in fact, there's been some degradation in the past couple of years in Haiti's economic standing.
And, Laurent, you make the case that what looked like Haiti's rejection or not effectively using outside help was actually evidence of a strong social cohesion in the country. Can you explain that?
Well, I mean, I think partly this is also a much longer story, right? I mean, we're now many, many decades into a very intensive involvement on the part of the U.S. and international organizations, really going back to the early 20th century occupation. So, there's been a kind of cycle of different forms of intervention, different forms of aid, and Haitians have learned to kind of respond to those, deal with them, try to take advantage of them in some cases. And that's a kind of story that we really need to understand going forward, because it is not the only case in the world like this, but Haiti is a very intensive case. I mean, the level of involvement is so intense. So that's part of the point. I mean, it's very easy, and it happens again and again, that the kind of difficulties eventually all get blamed on kind of the Haitian population or Haitian culture, and people get, you know, that's a kind of easy out. But in a sense, what we've constituted is a kind of constructed reality in which foreigners and Haitians together have created the situation, and that's the key to finding a way out, I think.
Amy, what you said a minute ago about the Red Cross is a scandal, if true, that they got donations earmarked for Haiti but have used it for other things. Is that what you were implying?
No, they haven't used it for other things. They got money for Haiti, and they haven't spent it yet. I think they have some $400 million still in their coffers waiting to be spent because they can't figure out how to spend it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a scandal in and of itself. I mean, the country is in such great need. But I do understand that there is a problem in Haiti in figuring out how to disperse money, which seems counterintuitive since there's obviously so much need, but there aren't, dozens of able institutions there waiting to spend the money properly. And that's what has to be developed. And really, it's a matter of the Haitians getting it together to figure out how they want to spend the money and then claiming their rights to the monies that are supposed to be spent in their country. And it just boggles the mind that so much goodwill could have been dissipated because of so much lack of understanding of the outsiders in Haiti.
Jean in Rosedale, you're on WNYC. Hello, Jean.
Yes, hello. Good morning. How are you, sir?
Good. Go ahead.
But yeah, so I actually was in Haiti during the earthquake, and I'm Haitian American, and I was evacuated through the embassy back to the United States. And I was in Haiti last year, and despite all the the rhetoric, I believe that there has been progress, even though there are camps and people are struggling. And then it's a third world country. So, but in terms of the president Martelly, I believe he's made a lot of progress in terms of previous administrations, especially the prime minister and him making contacts with all these foreign countries like China. And I believe that with the right administration, they'll move forward.
Jean, thank you very much. And we've just got a minute left. Let me get a brief reaction from each of you. Laurent Dubois.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are some positive developments, and I think the key is going to be to think, you know, imaginatively and creatively about how to move forward. But there's a long road ahead, definitely.
Amy Willens?
Well, I just want to say that Haiti has been a modern country in so many ways that people don't even suspect throughout its history, and its revolution was more original than anything happening at the time. And I believe that the Haitians will figure out, as they do, how to survive and how to move forward in spite of this gigantic catastrophe that's been visited on them.
If people still want to help Haiti, is there a best way?
That's a hard one. I mean, I always say donate to Partners in Health, which is an institution of long standing on the ground in Haiti and has been functioning there for more than 20 years. There's also one of my favorite people, Megan Coffey. She's a tuberculosis doctor in the state hospital, and her organization is called TIKAY, TIKAY.
You want to add to that,
yeah.
Professor?
I would add actually an organization that's not in Port-au-Prince, but a reforestation group called CODEP that's funded by the Haiti Fund, which we recently have been learning a lot about their work, and it's pretty remarkable. So, because I think rural Haiti is partly actually the key to figuring out a lot of the issues on the scale of the country. So,
and listeners will add links to those groups on our webpage in a little while, as soon as we can organize them at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Laurent Dubois' new book is Haiti, The Aftershocks of History. Amy Willens' new book is Farewell, Fred Voodoo. Thank you so much for joining us on this third anniversary week.
Thanks a lot,
thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, President Obama is just starting his news conference. We'll listen to what he has to say.